Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, live in studio. Darren, I'll get out of the way. I always ask how you're doing, but I'm going to go ahead and say sad, disappointed, upset, angry. Pick a superlative.
Actually, none of the above. Just
tired.
Yeah, tired, shocked a little bit. Didn't expect what happened to happen, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Mentioned on our pregame show last night that, you know, for the Ravens to win, the Chiefs would have to come in a little overconfident. I think that's exactly what ended up happening. We saw in the way that they played, and they had to be able to stop the run, and that's something that they could not do and did not do last night, and it showed on the field.
We're joined, as always, every Monday by Todd Lebo. Lebo, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, you know. It was a rough one for the Chiefs. I did not think they were going to lose that game. Thought they've kind of had the Ravens number. And obviously, what a wonderful start. You get a pick six, Tyrann Mathieu back in. Accident, you know, Sammy Watkins slips. Tyron's right where he needs to be, catches it, runs it back. But then they just went right down the field. And you're like, okay, Chiefs better make an adjustment or this is going to be an all-day sucker. And it was. Yeah. It was. It absolutely was. And the Chiefs, you know, at one point were up 2-0 on turnovers, and that's when things were going pretty good. But the turnovers were really bad for them in the second half. I thought the end of the first half was a bad spot. First and 25 for the Ravens. They just run, pick up 20 yards, make it, you know, get it to manageable. They go down and they kick a field goal, and that got them some momentum. And that was a rough thing at the end of the half. And you just have to credit the Ravens. They played tough. They hung in there. After getting down, you throw a pick six. I mean, think about Lamar Jackson's last, you know, basically 15 minutes of play. Two fumbles on Monday Night Football out in Vegas that lost him the game. Then he comes out and he throws a pick six
right out the
after
bat.
Missing a touchdown, right? And you're like, oof, this guy. He could just go into a shell. But he kept playing his game and doing it, and the Ravens deserve a lot of credit. Now, the Chiefs did some things. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble, it's killer, absolute killer. You cannot have that happen on that play at that time. You can't do that. You're in field goal-ish range. You're going to run the ball. You're going to keep passing it. They weren't just going to run it three times and kick. They were going to keep doing things. They had passed the ball to get down there. But you fumble the ball on a play that didn't look like a fumble-type play. You know, it wasn't like helmet on the ball, or you were getting held up, and you know, second guy in strips it away. It was just kind of a backhanded slap and knocked the ball out.
And to Andy's credit, because he I know he mentioned it, because I think I asked him about it after the game, but because I saw from the replay that even when Andy said it, it didn't look like he had control of the football.
I think
when
he did. I followed up with Andy today on the Zoom, and he didn't. I asked if he'd gone back and looked at it and see if he was protecting it right. He just was kind of evasive about it. So I think the ball was there. I think he just the kid just didn't have it secured. Because I think you feel like you're probably not going to get hit when you're 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage like that. But he did.
Should have kneeled.
The whole thing. I mean, really kind of fell apart when Mahomes threw the pick. That's a silly play. You can't make that play. It's third down. You're either going to pin him back, or if you did, as he said last night, if he just would have thrown the ball earlier to DeMarcus Robinson, perhaps they would have been in go zone, right? Like a fourth and one, maybe field goal, maybe something. But what you absolutely can't do is just give them the ball at the 40-yard line.
Yeah,
I hate to criticize Patrick Mahomes because he had never thrown an interception in September.
I think
he knows he's never thrown an interception in September. And if you went back and looked at every single pass he's thrown in September for the last 3 years, he's probably thrown five balls that should have gotten picked off. They just didn't. right? So then you feel a little bulletproof. Like, I can just do anything.
And that's
you can
what
throw
Andy
it
said.
Left-handed. I mean, yeah. You can do this. You can just throw it up in the air like you did to Marcus Robinson.
You live with that, man. You
don't, I don't live with it on that throw.
Yes, you do, because you know why? You don't want him going into a shell.
That's not a shell.
It's 30 times he makes that
playing.
Play.
No, but it's
the
it's,
one time he doesn't. No, it's also on third down.
But it's still smart football. So, I mean, look, just because. Well, look, just like I asked Andy, just because he's made spectacular plays don't mean he's going to be 100 for 100. I mean, you can't.
And that wasn't a spectacular play. That was a dumb play. Throwing the ball kind of backwards while you're going down is dumb.
Hey, dumb play. I'm the first to admit that was a horrendous play.
I'm not saying you got to cut the guy or anything.
No.
But he needs to understand, and I think it's a good lesson for him. He's gotten away with plays similar to that many times.
But how many times do we see him make plays very similar situations? How often does he make that play?
But those don't make
I don't think
good
he's ever
play.
Played I mean, that exact play.
Those aren't good plays. I mean, those are
he
just plays that he gets.
He did one left-handed, literally getting tackled.
Yeah, but there was
the
nobody
thing.
There.
I get it. My point is, though, I will live with
maybe
this.
Maybe if he'd have thrown that left-handed, he'd been better off.
Could be. My thing is, I live with this. This was not the deciding factor. You don't have to have Patrick be 100% perfect. That he is not the issue in this game. Not at all. The issue is the run defense. The issue is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's multiple points you can point to. Mahomes was not the issue. That one play, I am not going to – you live with that. You live with that.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to live with it because, one, it shouldn't have been done because he wasn't in the position where he had to make that type of play. Now, they were getting pressured, you know, but it still doesn't mean you have to make that throw. Again, you can live with the sack. I mean, which would you rather have, a sack or a turnover?
Sure. You would obviously rather punt in that situation, but my point is – I don't expect Patrick to be 100% perfect. He shouldn't have to be the reason that everyone else can mess up, right? The entire game, just be horrendous. But Patrick has to have zero turnovers. He's to have zero bad throws an entire game. That's just unrealistic. He's going to make mistakes. Why are we – Clyde has to hold with two hands, not be well, Shady McCoy.
Listen, those were both bad plays.
The defensive line has to get, what, not give up 6.5 yards per carry?
Oh, there was a lot of problems with this game. But here's what you expect. You expect Patrick Mahomes to be better than that, and that was a poor mistake and a poor idea to try to throw that ball. You expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire not to fumble the ball. Those
I
things
more
happen.
Jerick McKinnon.
Well, he's got four snaps. And you expect this defense that they are spending what percentage of the cap?
I thought I heard Seren say 25% of the cap, the entire cap on the D-line.
Okay, and you expect them not to give up. And they were out there. Frank Clark was out there. Chris Jones was out there. This was not like they were without their players. You expect them to be able to get a push. And I thought it was a very smart play by John Harbaugh. To just say, dude, these guys aren't stopping us on 4th and 1.
Yeah, they haven't yet.
Let's
they
just go get a win.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
Do you want to go for this? And of course, Amar is saying yes, but I wish Andy Reid had the exact same trust in Patrick.
Oh, he does.
But if he did, they would have trusted Patrick to not hand the ball off to Clyde. They ran the ball three times.
There was still a minute and a half to go to the game. They were not going to run it three times and kick it. They were going to do things.
That was the one. But my point is, that's a horrible play call. You've been going to traps. Why settle for a field goal in that situation, plus a 40-plus yarder? Why not go and just end the game?
It was first down.
Going in the game.
It's situational football, first of all.
Horrible. You've been going to Travis Kelce the entire game. It's been working. Why not do a swing pass? You've been getting pushed back in the run game all day. Odds of it going for negative yards at that point were almost higher than gaining yards.
I think they were
going to kneel it.
No, they were.
They
gonna,
were trying to do a walk off. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing. I mean,
they
you
were
know,
going
to have a problem with Tom
I'm
Brady did a walk off last week.
I fully expect they were going to keep throwing the ball. But they just ran the ball that one time on first down. They had thrown it.
Bad play. You've ran on first down how many times in a row
if they throw an incomplete pass, it stops the clock.
I think they wanted to run one more time to get the Ravens to use their last timeout, and then they were going to keep playing football.
Sure.
I don't think they were going to settle for kicking from the 32. I don't think they were because they ran the ball or threw the ball all the way down there. The problem is the kid fumbled the ball. That's on him.
The problem is also running the ball on first down time and
but
time again
for
negative yards.
If he didn't fumble the ball,
sure, 100%.
Then they probably – well, I don't know if there's a guarantee you'd make the field goal because we saw some missed kicks yesterday, did we not?
Yes, we
did. The National Football League, we saw some great makes and we saw some misses. There's no guarantee he was going to make it. But listen, here's the problem with the Chiefs. They're a really good team, and they've played two really good teams. I think the Browns are really good, and I think the Ravens are really good, and they've battled with them both till the end. If they would have had the Broncos schedule, we'd be sitting here laughing about how they won two games by 24 points apiece.
Sure.
And they'd be looking at playing another garbage team this week. Who's the Broncos are playing someone else bad.
They
this
play
week.
Like the Jets or
yeah, they're
or,
playing
or,
the Jets.
Or, is it the Jets or is
it's
it,
the Jets?
Yeah.
So, but they started out. We talked about this for 6 months leading up to this. Browns, Ravens, Chargers. This is a tough little opening stretch here for this team. So I, you know, you don't win them all. They had won them all in September for three or four years in a row, but they're. This is a tough league, man. This is a tough league. We were sitting there watching yesterday. Looked like the Panthers were just going to crush the awful Falcons, and then they kind of a game in the second half, right? The Falcons hung around for a little bit.
Not the Falcons. You mean the Saints. Saints and the Panthers.
It was Saints.
No, I'm talking about the Bucks.
Bucks okay.
Sorry, the Bucks, the Falcons. It ended up being two pick sixes the other way. So even that, I mean, I think the Falcons are one of the worst teams in the league. And the champs are the champs, right? But that was an all-day deal. That was an all-day affair. There's some teams in this league that are going to come and fight you. And the Ravens showed a lot of fight. Chiefs lost the game. Their season's not over. But you do start thinking. It's never too early to start thinking about tiebreakers and one seeds and all that kind of stuff. But you're not going to win all your games.
I'm not nervous in a shell about this. You weren't going undefeated to begin with. But is this a microcosm moving Chris Jones out to end? Because they just completely took him out. He looked lost trying to stop the run. He had no idea where to be. They got no pressure because he couldn't rush because they were just neutralizing him. Is this a bigger overlying issue of having Chris Jones play end?
No, I just think, you know, as we talk about, the other team gets paid to do a job as well, and they just schemed against him. I mean, stop thinking about it. The one name that we haven't talked about these 2 weeks, Jaron Reed. Yeah, I mean, you know,
two tackles yesterday on the field almost the entire game in a run heavy offense. You get two tackles.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, Chris Jones had one set. I mean, one tackle. You know, Frank Clark had, he had some pressure.
Clark had one good play, and then he was.
Yeah, so I mean, there's question marks to go all the way around. And the biggest one I have, and, you know, I'm going to say it here, and I'll ask him this question, so it gives him a couple of days to get an answer together. But if the Chiefs score 35 points, or the question is, how many points is it going to take for the offense to score that the defense don't give up more points than what the offense is scoring?
It feels a little bit like 2018.
2018 all over again. I mean, because if you think about it, Patrick has had, excluding the Super Bowl because it's on a neutral site, even though it's on a Tampa-Bay field, Patrick has had five losses on the road. You know, now in two of the games, he's had zero, zero interception games. He had three interception game. That was the one against the Rams. I was there at that one. And then, of course, what he had yesterday. I mean, but the team, and I've got to pull it up, but the team, you know, the amount of points that they've scored.
So this is 28 for the offense in this one.
I'm sorry?
28 for the offense in this one because seven was Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah. But still, I mean, you know, but the key to beat the Chiefs is you got to score 30-plus points.
100%.
And I think it might be the Colts might have been the one game that was an outlier.
Mm-hmm. But, and 13.
But every game that Patrick has lost has been when a team
been
has
shootout
scored.
Type game,
yeah. Yeah, it's been a shootout, except for the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like
Yeah, they only needed 10 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they got 30-something.
Yeah. Nick Bolton also can't be your rookie – cannot be your best tackler, right? You cannot have Nick Bolton. I love Nick Bolton, right? But he cannot be your most consistent best tackler stopping the run. That cannot happen. What was Alex Okafor doing the whole game? You've been a decade in the league, and you have no idea what an edge is, how to set it. Does Dan Sorensen have naked pictures of spags? Because why is Juan Thornhill?
Get 11 snaps.
11 snaps for Juan Thornhill, 100% of snaps for Dan Sorensen. Dan Sorensen sure had a couple of nice plays, right? Give him credit, a couple of nice plays. He also got beat multiple times. I'm confused. What was Spags' idea here? This zone defense, your entire team is built for man defense, right? That's what you built this team around. You play zone the whole game. Was that confusing to you guys? Or?
Well, it's an interesting – they won't face another team that does what this team does. Unless they play him again.
Unless you play him in the playoffs.
Unless you play him in the playoffs, you better have something figured out by then. It's a different thing. And I guess I'll kind of wait and see a little bit on this run defense because the Browns run the ball as good as anybody.
Sure.
And the Ravens run the ball differently, but as well as anyone does.
Sure.
You know, I expect the Chargers will come in here and try to run the ball a little bit. I mean, they mostly, Austin Eckler's a really good weapon, but it's sometimes run, sometimes pass.
But okay, so but Austin Eckler, how many touches are you going to get? 9 catches, 10 catches?
Probably.
I mean.
And then you better hope you can score because the Chargers' defense is pretty salty. We just saw, you know, Dak Prescott throw for 400 yards and put 30 points up on Thursday Night Football, and they had to scrape and fight to get all they could out there in L.A. Yeah, I expect the Chiefs to win the game this weekend, but there's certainly a lot to think about in this game, and some of it got kind of covered up last week. It's interesting because did you feel – I think there's a little bit of a narrative going that the Chiefs kind of did a little bit better job on run defense in the second half of that game last week because the Browns only scored one touchdown. But let me pose this to you. So the Browns ran the ball well on a drive, but the guy fumbled it. Yeah. Thornhill put the hat on him. He fumbles it, right? So then they get the next drive. They go down and score, running the ball right down the Chiefs' throat.
Yep.
Then the 75-yard play happens. All right. Then the Chiefs started stopping the run, but the Browns, it was their fault. They lined up in a shotgun on the first snap when they had the lead, and they got sacked. Then there was no more running the ball at that point. So I don't know if the Chiefs stopped the run or the Browns just didn't try to run because it was their mistake. They should have continued to try to run the ball instead of trying to throw the ball when they still had the lead. And then after they had to punt on that play and the guy drops the punt, the Chiefs get the lead. Then they're behind now. It's a little bit different game. I don't know if the Chiefs have ever stopped the run this year.
The biggest issue that I have with the Chiefs, if there is such a thing, is they don't put teams away. I mean – we have, now, Levo, you and I, we've been on Zoom. We've been there covering the team. We have heard Kelce and others say that they should be able to average 50 points a game now. And for someone who likes to.
That's a hyperbole.
Well, yeah, but they're very serious about that, too. No. It might sound like hyperbole for radio, but they really believe they can score 50 points a game. I mean, that's just, I mean, and when you look at it, they probably can. The issue is, you know, and granted, he has a grace period because he's, you know, he won a Super Bowl here and took us to another Super Bowl. But Andy Reid is starting to kind of put that foot back on the brake, you know, saying kind of being a little bit conservative. Think about it. We're playing teams that outside of the Rams weren't considered really explosive teams. But in the games that the 5-row games that, again, Patrick has lost as a starting quarterback, Chiefs offense scored 40 points. 51 points, 31, 32, and 35. The defense, however, gave up 43, 54, 38, 35, 36. I mean, again, there's no excuse for that to where the offense keeps putting up points. And I posted a picture last night. I got to pull up on my phone here. Just that, you know, the one thing that I really didn't pay that much attention to until it was too late after the game, time of possession. That's why I say, you know, you're talking about running the football.
It doesn't matter.
36 minutes to 24 minutes for, you know, Ravens to the Chiefs.
Time of possession, though, has been proven has zero correlation on who wins the game.
Well, I know one thing. 251 yards to 62 yards of that. You know, they gave up. The Chiefs allowed 481 yards of offense. You let the third and damn near third and fourth string running backs come in and run down your throat. I just don't get it. I mean, and the Chiefs, here's the thing. When you look at some of the highlights, and I saw one this morning when I was at the airport, I think that Mitchell Schwartz had shown, you got Trey Smith is a monster blocking. I mean, he pancaked somebody. I think he was pulling around and just he chooses violence each and every time the ball is snapped. I just don't get why they go away from, you know, from running the football so early and so often.
Because they can't. Clyde can't find a hole. 13 carries for 46 yards. Every time on first down you run it for a yard, you're setting Patrick up to do something special that he has to do every single time, second and long. They can't run the ball.
Put Williams, put McKinnon in, or McKinnon in. I mean, that's
– sure,
that's,
I'd like to see more Jerick McKinnon.
I'm not trying to go back and forth with you. I'm just saying that sometimes it's just not – like the Dallas Cowboys, for all the grief and for all the jokes we make about them – if the running game ain't working, they got Zeke doing a whole bunch of other stuff where he's blocking, able to pass catch or whatever. Clyde, we don't know, but at least they're willing to go out against the grain, and they will if he's not running the ball well, they'll put Tony Pollard in.
Tony Pollard had over 100 yards,
exactly.
13 carries, 100-plus yards. Because
the Chiefs don't want to, you know, the Chiefs don't want to go to their second string or third string running back to see whether or not they can do something behind that offensive line, because the offensive line, they put work in. They are aggressive enough where they can get you space out there, but for whatever reason, Clyde is just not easy. He's not hitting the hole. He's just not big enough. He's just not strong enough.
I think when he gets hit, he goes down pretty easy when he's in space. He has tough, strong legs, and he gets in a pile. They kind of moves it a little bit.
Sure.
But every time you look out, and he has a little swing pass, he's got a little opening. Some guy just comes up, whap, he's down. You can't go back and say, hey, I wish they hadn't picked the guy, and I don't want to bury him today, okay? I think he's okay. But I think when he got drafted, everyone's like, oh, boy, what's Andy Reid going to do with this guy from LSU? They got all these weapons. And so far, it ain't much.
He's not bad. My thing with Clyde is I'm not saying he's a bad player. He's a fine player. He's not a first-round talent. I had major issues when he was drafted in the first round.
You can't
round.
Take that out of your head at this point.
Well, no, you can't. And again, it's a sunk cost.
Yeah.
He's here. But I said at the time, I hate any running back drafted in the first round, especially on this Kansas City Chiefs team. Mahomes always has his eyes downfield, right? What does Clyde do best? Pass catching. How many catches did he have last game? Zero.
None.
So you're using a guy not in a position to succeed. Andy Reid's not using him for his best possible trait. It just, to me, it's mind-blowing. Why is he here? Why was this the pick then if you're not even going to use him the way he was drafted to be used?
Well, I will say this. I mean, other teams are utilizing their draft picks and their free agent money to try to compete against Kansas City and do better against them. So, again, it's something that they're going to have to figure out.
It makes the season more interesting.
It does make
it more interesting. I mean, it's like people get fired up, man.
Well, look, it gives us something to talk about all week. Ooh, sure. Are the Chiefs in trouble? Oh, my gosh, the Chargers coming in. The Chargers, it's a must-win game for the Chargers after blowing a game with the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. So, I mean, we got good stuff to talk about, I guess, all week. But
what do you guys actually think about Juan Thornhill, why he's not getting playing time? I've heard rumors.
I thought he might have been a little nicked up from the game last week. But, I mean, if you're suit up, man, I think you're good enough to play, so – I don't know. I mean,
I don't have a good reason for you. I mean, other than you have to trust that the coaches know more than we know. I mean, that's what you have to do. Preparation, whatever. I mean, practice, all that stuff. I mean, he's certainly not good enough just to, if he is someone who's not doing the right things at practice, just to throw him out there. He hasn't proven that yet. But I don't like it. And every time you sit there and run down Dan Sorensen, he's the guy who comes in to make a sack. Right, he makes like a play a game, but it's all the other
ones. They don't offset.
And I don't know. Hey, I'll say this.
That's a good one, Sterling.
And when we were watching, we watched the jump pass to Marquise Brown and his touchdown. We think it's Daniel Sorensen's fault. I don't know if it was. He was on the other side of the field. He just happened to be the guy who chased. It may not have been his fault. I don't know. You know, they're pretty – a lot of times we ask a question about that, and they won't say exactly because they don't want to throw someone else under the bus.
Yeah.
But – very well may not have been his fault. I don't know. And then there'll be someone who's an expert on Twitter who will tell you they know, but they don't know either sometimes.
Sure.
So,
and also getting burnt by Mark Andrews time and time again is not very
– oh, but, you know, that's the same thing. It's a little bit the same thing when you – like Patrick Queen, I think, is really good. Well,
sure,
did he have some big night against Travis Kelce?
No,
last
Patrick,
night?
I think he had a bad night last night.
So
Patrick
Mark Andrews is good. This is not some stiff. They played two really good tight ends.
Oh, I agree.
And Njoku is really good, and Mark Andrews is really good. So there are so many tight ends running around this league now. They're not a bunch of stiffs out there anymore who can't catch. And they're all over the place now. They're everywhere.
Sure.
And I mean, Travis Kelce is better than all of them. But, my God, it's like Mark Andrews is a stud. If he were on the Chiefs, he wouldn't have Travis Kelce numbers probably, but he'd have someone better throwing him the ball. He's pretty good from a guy who doesn't throw very well, you know? Athletic. He jumped over to get out of bounds on that one play, hurling a guy.
I agree.
So it's pretty tough. I mean, maybe they should say, let's not have this guy on that guy.
Well, that's my point is, if these guys are so athletic, wouldn't you want your athletic safety on him? Dan Sorensen is supposed to be the veteran president, supposed to know where he's supposed to be, and if he's not doing that...
Yeah.
I just... Very questionable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you stop and look at it, had the Chiefs, you know, held on to win that game, I mean, there were some good things that you could say we could talk about, but it really, really wasn't. I mean, the fact that you gave up 100 yards to their quarterback rushing, again, you know, you get all the way down to their fourth string, Devontae Freeman. He had two carries, but they were for 29 yards. You know, I mean, and one of them was 30. You know, was a 31 yarder, which of course he ended up losing yards on the second on his next carry. But Marquise Brown, you know, six catches, 113 yards, touchdown. Sammy Watkins, 4 for 44. I mean, you know, defensively, I mean, it's hard because had they won the game, they can say improvements that they need to make, but there's no guarantee that they will go back and actually make those improvements. Now, they'll say that they're going to go back this week, look at tape, look at film, and go back and make improvements. Ask Tyron, ask Frank about the tackling stuff. You know, they're going to say what they're going to say, and you know, they'll practice one day and pass this week, and Spags will come out on Thursday and probably say that, you know, they did what they could, and, you know, we have to see whether or not it improves on Sunday. I don't get it, man. I mean, look, the sky's not falling, anything, you know, nothing like that. But you know how good your particular team is. Now, you do have respect for the other team because obviously they get paid as well. But you know that when your team is more talented, when they walk out on the field, if they do their job, you feel that no team should be able to beat them. Last night, they didn't do their job.
Hardman, D-Rob, Byron Pringle looked really good. Everyone kept asking who was going to fill in if teams double Tyreek and don't let him get open. They stepped up. One thing I really noticed, too, from McColl and D-Rob especially, right when they caught the ball, what did they do? Ran straight ahead.
Yeah, they went forward.
I don't know if D-Rob caught a lot of flack. I don't know if he saw stuff on Twitter. I have no idea. But remember last week when he caught the ball, ran backwards, looked like he could have picked up a first down and didn't. This time, what's he do when he catches it? Straight for the first down marker.
Now I'm wondering, Lebo, because you know I'm a gambling man, but I didn't bet on this particular deal. But Clyde, there was a layer. Vegas had him over under. I think it was either 48 or 46 yards. It was 46 and a half yards for over. He had 48 yards.
Oops.
And then had the 2 yard loss. 46 yards. There were people. Now, I saw on Twitter this morning somebody was real high because they were winning. They were winning, I guess, like one of those fantasy draft things. And then when Clyde lost the 2 yards.
And the fumble. And gone.
It dropped his points and he ended up losing. Stuff that people just don't like right now. But, look, Chiefs fall to 1-1. It's the first time since, 2016 that they don't have a share or in the lead. In the division, obviously, the Raiders, along with the Denver Broncos, are now looking down on the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see what happens. The Los Angeles Chargers, they're 1-1. They come into Arrowhead this Sunday. That's a noon kickoff, am I correct?
Yes.
It's a noon kickoff.
And noon this week, noon the next week in Philly.
Yeah. So
it's not as many late nights for Darren.
And 7:20 Buffalo.
Yeah, then it's late night again.
Late night.
That's when your Josh Allen comes in.
I'm going to go to that game.
Yeah, you are.
My girlfriend and I already bought tickets.
Root on your hero.
I'm feeding Balls. Sunday Night Football. I'm feeding Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, getting them some gates. Yeah, we were funny story. We were in the halftime, men's urinal. Obviously, wasn't in the women's, but men's urinal. I'm standing right there in the middle. Chris on one side, Al on the other.
Did you go to the middle? Was like there an open urinal and you went straight for the middle one between them?
Well, I was first one there, so I was trying to get it out.
Okay. Because,
yeah, it did. Yeah, so, and then they just came right in. Like, I guess they were holding it. Wait, couldn't wait till halftime.
Yeah, they got to go. Yeah.
This TV, so they got, you got to go, So they come in, and, I'd already talked to Al before. I said, hey, Chris, you come to Kansas City in a couple of weeks. Don't have an appetite and bring you some Gates barbecue. Man, you know how to show take care of people. I was like, yes, sir. I was like, now let's hope nobody's taking a picture at this moment because I don't want to be
sitting there talking.
Talking while
Chris
we're all
calling. Now that's a guy who likes barbecue right there.
Yeah. He does. He played. He's been to Kansas City quite a few times in his career. But man, it just, and then, oh, Guess who they had the halftime performance? I don't know if they showed it on NBC.
They showed some sort of a, like a, it was a DJ type thing.
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Because they showed a real quick clip, and I wasn't really paying attention. It showed it in like the third quarter, like a bump back or something.
Yeah. He was there. It was interesting, man.
Interesting was a way to put it from what it looked like.
Did you like the Ray Lewis entrance? Did they hype everyone up?
And hey, look, it caught us all by surprise. Now, there's a like a 2 second clip, I think, from somebody from Channel 5 cameraman showing Patrick's reaction, because it was like, Steven, I was like, man, look.
Because on NBC, they right from there, they went to Mahomes, and he's just like smiling whatever.
I mean, we were excited, because I was like, I was kind of Steven. We were geeking, like, oh, hell, he's like, I mean, like, he really is here. And
he really came in and killed it, didn't he?
He did. hey, hold on. Here's the thing. He comes out, I'm sitting thinking like, I mean, I don't know what he did that for. I'm like, hell, they're still going to lose. And this, you know, like, damn it. They done won 36-35. Like, Ray Lewis, the spirit of Ray Lewis. And it's funny because
it was almost like an obstruction.
No, but here's the crazy thing. They're showing highlights throughout the game of the Ravens beating Kansas City. Now, mind you, this is when they had a small lead, but then Kansas City comes back, so they're not showing it no more.
It's been a while since they had a win, right?
Yeah, but then, you know, but then they're showing all these clips, and it features Ray Lewis. I'm like, the dude's not coming back to play. I'm like,
Is Ed Reed busy too?
Ed Reed wasn't there.
Ed Reed's just out growing his beard and hair somewhere.
Yeah, he was
wild looking.
But Ray Lewis coming out, but look,
it hyped the crowd up for sure.
It hyped it up. It was well worth it. You don't come out and Sunday Night Football, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar
Jackson.
They
pulled out all the stops.
They pulled out all the stops. And he came out, he got the crowd hype, he got the press box hype, he got me hype. I was like, oh man, this is going to be a good game. You got Ray coming out of retirement to do this. And, well, at the end of the day, they did what they needed to do. Got the monkey off his back. He's now 1-3 against the Chiefs. Ravens win 36-35. We'll come back, talk more football. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith. Hi, Ollie Gates here.
I think we already did this one once. Eric Johnson?
It is Eric Johnson. We have not done this one yet.
Not this particular song?
I was looking through.
It's Cliffs of Dover?
It is Cliffs of Dover. Yeah. I was looking through to see. We've done the Colts already.
Yeah.
I was trying to look back. We've done a lot of these now.
These are the ones that Darren picks.
Yeah, Darren picks these
yeah,
ones.
Okay. Okay, good one.
That was a good one.
Were there some games yesterday that shocked you? Now, I will say this. My biggest takeaways were some of the injuries to, I think, some of the quarterbacks in the early games. I think Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, I think his ego got hurt at first when he threw another interception.
Well, it was a dumb tackle. I appreciate you trying to go make the tackle, but maybe leave that to the big guys. But he came back. He was fine. It was his left arm. Browns are good, you know. The Browns are good.
Texans are better than we thought, too.
Yeah, absolutely they're better than we thought. There's some good players on that team. Now, you know, in the end, they lost by 10 points or whatever. But the Browns are a good football team.
Hold on for a second. Sterling, when we talked about this, you took the points, didn't you? Because I was like Texas. I was like, no, give me the points on that one.
I took
the
Texas points.
Okay. Yeah, I did too. I took the 13.5.
Andy Dalton got hurt, and I guess it's weird today up there. They're like, Matt Nagy wants to make sure that everyone knows that Andy Dalton's the quarterback if he's healthy. But Justin Fields wasn't very good either. I mean, he threw a bad pick.
I mean, believe the only problem I have with that is that you don't start the man out. I mean, you just kind of put him in, and you have to hope he does something. You know, I mean, if, you know, Andy Dalton gets injured, so now he has to come in. But it's not like he's fresh.
The youngsters are having a rough go so far, quarterback this year.
Zach Wilson, 4 interceptions. Trevor Lawrence looks bad.
Trevor Lawrence has thrown 5. His quarterback rating was 37 yesterday. That's not great, right? Fields.
I mean, Mac Jones
has been all right.
No touchdowns, but no interceptions.
No, but they lost to the Dolphins the first game. He hasn't been. He's not out there lighting the world on fire. They're not asking him to do too much. That's pretty good. That's fine. Let him do that. You know, we'll see how long if Fields gets to be the guy, how hurt the Red Rockets' knee is. And I don't think Trey Lance is going to get to play until the, you know, Niners lose some games. It was a big win for them yesterday on the road. It is tough.
The
this
Eagles,
is the thing
were they
we're
really
talking about.
That good?
No, because they play the Falcons.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So,
and the Eagles, they went for a fourth down at the 2-yard line and tried to run the Philly special stupidly. Should have taken the points there. They had a touchdown called off the board for a penalty. They had a something else happen. They shot themselves in the foot. They had a chance to kind of be in that game, but you know their defense must be pretty good. They've allowed single digits to the Falcons last week and 17 to the Niners. So that's decent. Jameis came back to earth.
Oh, that was a bad performance.
I didn't get a chance to read. I mean, I was looking at it on my phone. Because they didn't show that game in Baltimore, but was it? It looked like it was more Panthers defense.
Panthers are a solid team. I mean, they're just like this solid, not exciting team.
Sam Darnold looked good too, by the way. If you throw for 305,
yeah,
against the Saints defense,
he's in a better situation. Who's going to be good for the Jets? Joe freaking Namath. Right? He's out of there. He's in somewhere that's better. But the thing that impressed me as much as anything yesterday, outside the Ravens coming back and beating the Chiefs after being down 7-0 on a pick six, is the freaking Raiders. That's a tough win.
That was a good win.
That's a tough win.
Good
win
over Pittsburgh, yeah.
Derek Carr throwing for 382 on the road against a stellar Steelers defense. Derek Carr has been phenomenal his first two games.
He's been good,
he
man.
Was really good last year, and we all kind of – I don't want to say
we like to make fun of him because he's the Raiders and he doesn't do well against the Chiefs.
He's easy to make fun of, but he has quietly put together a very good past couple of years.
Dude, that bomb he threw to Ruggs to shut the door.
Stones.
Was big time throw. And, listen, I was pretty impressed with – I think the most impressive win of week one was probably the Steelers on the road against the Bills because the Bills are good.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a shutout yesterday.
35-0.
But still, it's – and then Tua got hurt in the game or whatever. But the Bills are a good team. We know that.
Yeah.
So you have to respect what the Steelers did to them. And now, after watching the Ravens beat the Chiefs, you better respect the Raiders because now they have beaten the Ravens and the Steelers. We're talking about the Chiefs. Playing two playoff teams, and they just beat the Ravens and the Steelers.
I told you the Ravens would be much better this year, with based off of just I know we talked about all the linemen that they gave up or whatever, but they built their team last year to score points against Kansas City. Now, we didn't know what they would do defensively, but man, when I look at this, and it's funny because I thought about Sterling because I called Sterling early in the morning. Yesterday.
Raiders have the Dolphins at home this week, and the Dolphins are a mess right now. So I'm not saying
hey,
they're going
like
to win
this.
The game.
If Nick Caserio or whatever the GM, he should be expecting a call from the Dolphins anytime. Like, how much do you want for Deshaun Watson? Like, I'm going to say it, Sterling. I'm off the Tua bandwagon. I mean, you've got
to stay healthy.
You've got to go all in and go get Deshaun Watson. You got to. I just can't.
I don't think you have to go all in because then you're mortgaging a lot for if you still think two is your guy.
What's the price tag? I mean, the Houston.
It's all going to depend on the price tag. If you can get him for
but
two
still,
first rounders, then yeah, hell yeah,
I mean,
pull the trigger. But
well, the only thing is the Dolphins, they do have a lot of draft capital still, regardless of what
sure.
what they want. So, I mean, so you're not.
It all depends if you still believe in Tua because even if he's out the entire season. That's only 1 year in the grand scheme.
He's got a bruise.
Bad ribs. It's some sort of rib.
But my point is, worst case scenario, he's out the whole year, right? That's absolute worst case scenario. We saw Drew Brees come back from broken ribs and punctured lung in like 4 weeks last year. Dude's 41.
I will say this. I know you got a man crush on him, but Josh Allen just has not been looking good to me.
He's been inaccurate after really improving his accuracy ever since he came into the NFL. He didn't need to do much. Again, 35-0. It's not like they needed Josh Allen to start slinging the ball in this one, but still, you'd like to see some better numbers from
I will say this,
MVP
though,
candidate.
When I look at these scores and I was, now I had a decent parlay that really kind of got blown up because it was like, I just need these quarterbacks to just throw two touchdowns, and I'm sitting there thinking like, wait a second, now here's the thing. Patriots, Jets. Now, I'm not expecting an all-out barn burner, But I'm sitting there thinking, like, come on, Mac Jones. I mean, you can give me 2 touchdowns, 25 points, and none of them came from the quarter, you know, in the air. Then I look at Baker Mayfield. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking Baker's going to have a bounce-back game. Bro, you can't give me 2 touchdowns in the air. Like, this is
– Hey, Lee, but you know what they call a decent parlay? Not hitting.
Well, yeah, but
he'd be perfect.
But yeah. Here's the thing.
You playing hand grenades?
Here's the thing. I wasn't expecting 6 quarterbacks to go out either in the first game. I mean, that was wild. Yeah, nobody.
And then
nobody
Texans end up playing a guy I never heard of in my life.
Yeah,
Davis Mills,
old D Mills.
Now I will say this though: the Rams, Colts. You know, the Rams. They should have won by more than three. But
no, there was a defensive score in that game. They're a gritty team, man. Yeah. They have some toughness to them, but it looked like they were going to have a pretty easy go. But the Colts are tough too, man. We talked about this last hour or last segment. The Colts came in here and ground the Chiefs down a couple of years ago and beat Patrick Mahomes at home in a not in shootout type game.
It was like 19-13, I think.
So the Rams, you know, we talked about that game a few years ago, 54 to whatever it was. They were kind of that wild team. They played an insane game against the Saints that year too. But they are not that anymore. They're kind of like defense, grind it out, and they've got something good going on with Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. Your MVP candidate, right?
I said Super Bowl from the NFC. I wouldn't say MVP candidate. But, no, yeah. That connection the first 2 weeks, trust me, I'm a Robert Woods fantasy football owner.
Sure, yeah.
Not great for me. Cooper Kupp's just been next-level connection with Matt Stafford.
They've been on a good spot. But that was an impressive road win for the Rams. I mean,
Carson Wentz, though, both ankles apparently are bad.
That looked gross when he got hit. I'm like, oof. It was kind of a situation that Patrick was in yesterday when Patrick threw the ball that got picked. He just kind of backhanded the ball. He threw it away. It wasn't going to get picked or caught or whatever. But he got in a real odd kind of spot when he got tackled. It was Aaron Donald on him, wasn't it? In which he puts people in some spots.
Well, by the way, Carson Wentz, he has the most injuries that don't seem to be his fault. Like the concussion, not his fault. Tearing your ACL when getting
on a diving play.
On a diving play, not your fault. Getting your ankles
spun around
from Aaron Donald, not your fault. I don't even know. Injury prone, I guess, but
he's a big, strong guy, too. He's not some little skinny kid. It's pretty amazing
it's
that he's
just
been hurt
unlucky.
That many times, yeah.
The one team that we should keep watch on, Arizona Cardinals. They, you know.
He's fortunate to win it yesterday.
Yeah, he's fortunate. But Kyler Murray only missed 7 passes, 20 yards, 3 touchdowns. But, again.
I saw a stat. He's had 2 400-yard, 3-touchdown, and 1 touchdown rushing game. And 2 in his career at this point. And the only other 2 people on the list were, I think, Manning and Brady or something, because they would always get those. They'd get quarterback sneaks for touchdowns. Kyler's not getting quarterback sneaks for touchdowns. He's just running it in from somewhere. There's something to see, but he throws some bad passes too.
Oh, yeah.
He threw an awful pick. But you know who's good, who I had kind of forgotten about even existed anymore, was that Rondale Moore. He was a phenomenon as a young player at Purdue, and he left early in the, you know, Big Ten football didn't really happen last year. I think he opted out too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he even played, so you're like, he was like
7 catches, 114
yards.
Oh
my God, he's a little like jitterbug, phenomenal kind of player, perfect for their offense. They got weapons all over that place. When you got Kyler and you got Hopkins,
hell, but Justin Simmons on the defensive side of the ball was balling yesterday. You know, local kid from here.
Kirk Cousins looked pretty good though.
Kirk Cousins was fine, and they should have won the game. You know, guy missed field goal. The Cardinals couldn't get the first down to not punt it away. They needed to get a first down, and they didn't get the first down. Yeah. So they had to punt it. And the Vikings went right down the field, bled the thing down exactly like you're supposed to do. Dude missed a kick.
37 yards. It's not like you're talking 37 yards in today's NFL is at like 95%.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, kickers miss an extra point. So, but look, you know, the big difference between the Super Bowl champion Chiefs and the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, when they blow a team out, they get up on a team, they stay up on a team. 20 points in the fourth quarter, 48-25 over the Falcons. Brady wants to win.
It was 2 pick-sixes, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were 2 pick-sixes. They were weird passes.
They weren't even really.
I was surprised the Falcons came, because that game looked like it was going to be 56-0. And the Falcons kept coming. I think, that was good.
I figured the Bucks, you know, Brady was going to run the score up as much as he could regardless.
That wasn't Brady. That was a defense.
Yeah, the same guy had two picks.
But they play a complete game, so that's the difference between them and Chiefs.
Still catching touchdowns. Ugh.
I mean, he threw 5 touchdowns, so regardless, yeah. Brady contributed 35 points.
He did. He did. But it looked like it was going to be a one-score game. And then one of the pick sixes was a tipped ball that popped up in the air. Matt Ryan's just stealing money at this point. He had the big contract. And I think this is his last year on that, I think. I mean, what do you do with someone like that? Does he want to go be someone's backup? Or is there a team that's like, well, we could use this veteran guy? Because he's not an old man.
And he's not necessarily – he's better than Andy Dalton.
Hold on, man. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because – I think about Sterling when I talk about this, and I had a particular parlay yesterday, and that I was going to do, and for some reason I thought about Sterling and made me not do it. I had Derrick Henry for plus 3 touchdowns. It was like plus 2,700, and I didn't do it because Sterling in the running game. And then lo and behold, he rushes for 182 yards, 3 touchdowns as the Titans. And it was because of him, not Derrick Henry, even though Derrick Henry did throw for 347 yards, but it wasn't because of him.
Tannehill, yeah.
Shut up. But the Titans.
You had it right. It wasn't
Titans,
for Derrick Henry.
Titans, surprisingly, shocking the Seahawks on the road, 33-30. Now, that, to me, was a game
That's
I didn't expect.
That's surprising as well. And it looked like it was over. I mean, the Seahawks had a really strong lead, but it's the NFL, man. People keep fighting. They just keep fighting. You know, unless you're the Jets, I guess.
Well, look,
the
Jags.
Oh, yeah.
Urban Meyer's about to bounce.
One last thing for
you. No, he put a plea out today on Twitter. Hang with us.
Before we get out of here, the Denver Broncos. Can't really tell if they're good or bad because of the two teams that they played, the Giants, who, of course, blew the game against the Washington football team, and, of course, the Jaguars. But winning breeds winning. It does build confidence, maybe falses the confidence, but
they're healthy.
It
on
is
defense.
Something. Yeah, yeah, it is something to go with. So we got to look out for them as well. Take a quick time out, get your thoughts on next Sunday's game between the Chiefs and the Chargers here on Darren Estrella on ESPN Kansas City.
You think you got me? King's X.
That's a good one, right?
King's X.
That was a pull.
Curious, Monday Night Football tonight, Sterling. We got the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers.
All we need is TJ Hockenson. Let's go. Daddy needs some points.
We need DeAndre Swift.
Oh, I think
and Devontae
fine.
Adams. We got both those fellas rocking tonight.
Is he any good for Detroit?
TJ Hockenson?
Oh, yeah, he's a stud.
Oh, he's a good, one of his good tight ends.
Yeah, we're talking
top
about Detroit,
eight,
so let's
top let's. Eight tight end in the NFL, I'd probably top eight. I can't say top
Let's
five.
Have a special night tonight.
You know what? Let's do it. You and me, pal.
So I'm curious because are we going to see the Green Bay that we saw last week?
I don't know.
You know. I mean, that's crazy because you don't
be
know
an
what,
ugly, what's, ugly what's, scene in Lambeau if they go out there and they poop like that.
And here's what, and obviously, look,
and
Lebo.
One guy that you Le- sent us.
Lebo sent us a deal on Twitter. Guys, a 16-leg parlay. Now, y'all give me grief for a 10-leg. Now, he picks every game. And look, now, we do it at the boat, you know what I'm saying, where you have picked stuff like that. So I'm in high school. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with trying to do that. But the system only allows us to do, I think it's 10, Sterling. So, I like that kind of stuff. Now, he bet $25 to win.
700 some
thousand. 750,000, I think. If the Detroit Lions pull off the win tonight, I think that – now, I don't know if there's an article attached to it. I just saw what was on the Twitter thing. But I guess they're willing to sell him if he sells his ticket for $50,000 or something.
I would definitely take that money.
100%.
Because it's the biggest upset that he would have picked. Because they're plus 400, right? So that's the thing that makes the thing crazy. Every other game in there, the only – underdogs. There was nothing that was even plus 200. So this is the biggest upset he would have had on this.
Yeah,
on this
he
ticket.
Didn't pick anything crazy. Again,
yeah, the Ravens last night.
It was amazing.
The Titans, you know, but
what he did was amazing. But this is the big one. This is the big dog.
Yeah,
I can't believe you got King's X. By the way, that was good. That was a good pull.
I had that CD.
Great CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So look, this is what we're gonna do. Starting Friday. We're gonna do a 10-leg parlay, money line only, so we can try to. Nah, I mean, but we only do it for a dollar, But that dollar pays off.
I'm with you.
Because, you know, I did a 10 leg yesterday. I was in the running until the Ravens
into
won.
Into the second game.
No, the Ravens. No, I was shocked. I was sitting there, okay, these quarterbacks are out and getting injured and stuff. I'm like, damn, but they were, everything was still good up until, because I had the over for the game, but the Chiefs, as usual, can't freaking cover. And
one,
you know.
What's that? Is that 1-11-1 now, or is that 1-13-1 now?
On the covers?
On the spreads. They're either 1-10-1 or 1-12-1.
I think it was 1-12-1.
So I guess now they're 1-13-1.
Not good.
Not good against the gut. You know what you should do?
Bet against them.
No, I just
win by four touchdowns.
No, I'd rather just give the other team points or.
Well, that's what we're saying.
I know that. Or just pick the Chiefs straight out. I'd rather just pick the Chiefs straight out and just, you know.
But the money's not there, Darren. Come on,
hey,
you're a betting man.
Hey, look at this. Tampa Bay -650. Cleveland -650.
Don't touch it.
He hit all that, and still, Lebo, who you got Sunday? Chiefs, Chargers, Chiefs bounce back or not?
It'll be tough, but I think the Chiefs will win the game. They need to shore up some things on defense and not make those mistakes, and they'd have won this one. But it's not going to be easy. The Chargers are an up-and-coming team.
No, I don't think they're more than up-and-coming. My question is, what's the line on this game? And looking at it, they don't have a line on it just yet.
It's all that matters.
Lebo, thank
you so
much.
You'll get a line soon enough. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Lebo, thank you very much. We'll do this again. Hey, man, I'm excited about it. We'll see you here next Monday. Tune in tonight, social media. Myself, Steve Walsh, DJ Q, Sean Tyler, The Red Hour, 6:30. Soray, join us down on 18th and Vine. We out of here.